Hey friends, thanks so much for tuning in to this past weekend's message. I hope it encourages you, hope it blesses you, and helps you take another step closer to Jesus. In fact, that's our mission. Sometimes Jesus can feel so far away, or the life that you want can feel so far away, but can I tell you, it's just everyday little steps that will help you get there. If you enjoyed this message, consider liking, commenting, subscribing to our channel. We post content every single week, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. We're always posting regular things on our social medias as well. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love to encourage you there. We do this on a regular basis, so if you ever want to tune in with us live, go to victorycity.church, and we have a watch tab there. You can do that at 9 and 10:30 every single Sunday. We want to hear really all that God is doing in your life. So consider sending us an email at info@victorycity.church. We want to hear testimonies, stories about how God is helping you take a step closer to Him. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope it encourages you and blesses you. We love you. Have a good day.
I just want to greet all of our online audience. Hey, what really helps me and encourages me, and I just want to say thank you for just a minute, is all of your sharing. And when you repost or when you tag us in posts, every single week I'm meeting people that come to our church or connect with our church that discover us on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. And so your voice matters. So I just want to say this, thank you for sharing. Hey, church, can we give all those who share and just kind of get the message of our church out? Big round of applause. So thank you so much. Well, this weekend is Labor Day weekend. It's the first Monday of the first Monday of September every single year. And it's a day that many, not all, have off. And it's a holiday meant to rest, spend time with family, eat some good food. It's kind of a day to enjoy one last day of summer, except you live in Austin, so summer lasts till November. you know, last day before fall arrives, the cooler weather, days get shorter, but, you know, it's a fun time. And, you know, I was looking into the origins of Labor Day because, you know, there's a lot of holidays. I'm like, why do we sell? What's that for? And so Labor Day was actually founded in 1894, and it was started, first of all, as a grassroots movement among the American worker, because the American worker in the peak of the Industrial Revolution would work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and you thought your days were long, but can you imagine going to work every single day, working 12 hours a day? And they would usually employ your kids. So they would take your kids, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, throw them in the factory, the mill, the mines, the farm. And so finally, the American worker were like, we need a break. We need a day just to kind of take a rest. And so on June 28, 1894, Congress officially passed a holiday of Labor Day, and it was signed and made official on that day. And ever since, we've been celebrating it. But you know, this idea of working hard, building the life you want, grinding, doing everything you can, in the words of Rihanna, work. I don't know. Nobody knows the words after that. All I know is the work. You know, speaking in tongues. All the people are like, who's that? Well, find her in the Bible. No, I'm kidding. She's not there. The idea of working 7 days a week is really overwhelming, and working long hours. And back then, you were forced to do that to be able to make a living. Now, many of us, we do that by choice. We work hard. We put in the overtime. We work the long hours. We miss the special days to keep the sales call. We ghost in and out of the home because of emails, phone calls, texts dominate. Now, for many of us who are working at home, it feels like we can never escape work. Work's always in my pocket. Work's always right there. And it can feel overwhelming. The constant, really, pursuit of building more and more, working towards the life you want, although in theory is good, but in practice can be detrimental. This idea of building, you know, many of us, we don't build careers, we build this ideal life, maybe the ideal family, maybe the ideal body, maybe the ideal reputation, maybe the ideal social presence, right? So that's why we got to use filters, because in real life, we're just not that attractive. So we use the filter to make our eyes look more blue or make look more tan. The other day, my wife was doing a story. I was like, oh my goodness, this is literally, I'm looking into the Caribbean Ocean. She was like, it's a filter. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I thought I was just had gemstones up in there, but it wasn't. It was a filter. You know, and we work and we work and we work and we build and we build and we build and we do and we do and we do. I think it's an appropriate day on Labor Day to ask the question, what I'm building, will it last? Will it last? Will it go beyond my lifetime? Will it go beyond just the 30 years that I have a career or however many years you have a career? Is what I'm building built to last? And that's the title of my message this morning. Is it built to last? In Psalms, King Solomon, he actually writes a song, and the first verse of that song, the first line, is Psalms 127, verse 1. And it says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. I don't know about you, but I want that to be the story of my life. Unless the Lord builds Eric, man, Eric's going to labor in vain. I want that for you. Unless the Lord builds your life, how we labor is in vain. I want that the story of our church. Unless the Lord built Victory City Church, we all labor in vain. Come on, somebody, can I get an amen for that, right? Like, God, you got to build it. God, you've got to build my life. You've got to build my family. You've got to build my reputation. You've got to build my career. You've got to build my church. And unless you build it, it's all in vain. What does vain mean? Vain is a common word that Solomon used. In fact, for all my Bible people, you would know this scripture, right? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity underneath the sun. I've tried everything. I've done everything. I've gone everywhere. I've made all the money, but it's all vanity. Vain just means it comes to no good. It doesn't last. It's wasted. And here's what Solomon is saying. Solomon is saying is this, unless God builds your life, and unless God builds your house, not your physical house, like where your address is, but like the house that you call your life, or the house that you call your family, unless God builds it, it can be wasted. It cannot last. It can come to no good. Now, Solomon would know something about building. Solomon was the most wise man in all of history. In fact, he asked God, when God said, ask anything, Solomon said, I want wisdom. Come on, what would you tell God if God would say, anything you want? Would you say wisdom, or would you be like, listen, I need $1 billion right now in my bank account. Maybe more than that. I want to trade places with Jeff Bezos. But Solomon doesn't do that. Solomon says, I want wisdom. And Solomon was a builder. Solomon built a lot of structures. Solomon built the temple. Solomon built the palace. He built the house of the forest of Lebanon. I know these probably are like, what is that? But I'm just going to list some of the things he built. He built the Porch of Pillars. He rebuilt multiple cities. I mean, can you imagine rebuilding full cities? This is what Solomon did. He built stables that would store hundreds and even thousands of horses for chariots. So just to put it in modern terms, he built massive garages to store his Ferraris. Come on, I love those horses, right? That's a nice, like, give me that. Right? He wasn't storing no Pinto. My kids, I rented a car this week, and because I've got to go to Louisiana tomorrow, and I rented a Toyota Corolla. They walked out and they're like, "This is the coolest car in the world." I'm like, "Oh, I gotta teach them something, right?" Like, right. So Solomon built a lot of things. He had a lot of things. He'd done a lot of things. Solomon built a political life, right? We're kind of in political season right now. Now I'm not going to get political. Don't worry. You're like, "Oh no." But Solomon built a political life. In fact, he had a great foreign policy. In fact, Solomon had more territory than King David. Now, those of you who are not a part of church, you're like, who's King David? But Solomon actually had more territory than King David. A lot of people think that King David had the most since he's the most popular king. But actually, it was King Solomon. And here's the cool thing. King Solomon never went to war. Isn't that crazy? He had more territory than David, who went to war. And Solomon didn't even have to go to war. In fact, kingdoms just said, hey, listen, will you rule over us? Like, whoa, right? King Solomon was rich. He had built a financial life. In 1 year, somebody just came and gave him a gift of 666 talents of gold. Talents is a measure of weighing. And in today's money, that's $1 billion. Come on, like my birthday is February 21st. If any of y'all feeling that, 666 talents of gold. Come on, somebody bless your brother, right? So he had built a political life. He had built buildings and built a city. He had built financial wealth. He had built his sexual life. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Good thing he was rich. Come on. Like all the birthdays and Valentine's days and more importantly, the I'm sorry's. You know, Solomon had it all. Solomon had built everything he could possibly build. And he comes to you and I today and he says, unless God builds it, it's wasted. It's no good. So really the question I have for you today is this, is the life that you're currently building, will it last longer than the life you're living? So let's think about that, because I know you're probably like, wait, what did he just ask? Will the life that I'm currently building, whatever you're building, will it last longer than the life you're living? Will it go beyond your lifetime? You see, because God builds with eternity in mind, we build with retirement in mind. How small, how finite, how limited. Come on, we build with just get to Friday. Like, just get to the weekend. And then Sunday night rolls around, and you're like, oh, Monday's tomorrow. Wait, Labor Day, yes. I mean, how often do we build with just short runways of thinking, if I can only just get here or do this, and while God's going, no, no, no. No, you need to have eternity in mind. So will the life I'm building last longer than the life I'm living? What about my life affects eternity? What about my life will last longer than just this temporary, but what about my life will go into eternity? You see, God, throughout Scripture, introduces himself as a generational God. He never just goes, I am God. He says, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a generational God. He says this, the things that I want to do are beyond just your lifespan. I want to keep doing it generationally beyond just your life. And so the question I have for you this morning again is, what about the life I'm building is going to last longer than the life I'm living? So let me ask you, do you have spiritual sons and daughters? Are you reproducing yourself? Now you would say, well, I don't have natural children. You don't need natural children to reproduce yourself. There's people every single day that are looking for a friend, looking for a father figure, looking for a mother figure, saying, hey, I'm going to take you under my wing. I'm going to help build you. And can I tell you, you can be 60 years old. So I'm messing my words up. 60 years old and still need a mother figure, still need a father figure. You see, the kingdom of God is connected. It should be reproducing itself every single day, or with your situation, will it die with you? I don't know about you, but I'm a product of generational followers of Jesus that just continue to pass it down. And for some of you, you may say, well, my parents weren't believers. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people whose parents weren't believers, but when they got plugged into a church, they found a community that said, hey, I'll invest in you. I'll pour into you. Better yet, let's use some terminology that you'll understand. I'll raise you up. I'll raise you right. I'll speak life into you. I'll encourage you. I'll build you up. And that's the beauty of a church, is the church is not just isolated people all doing their own thing, but a church is a community. It's an organism where if one area of the church is struggling, man, the whole church reaches out and say, hey, what can we do to lift these people up? I love Victory City Church because you can come in not knowing anything about the Bible, not knowing how to act, not knowing how to behave, not knowing what the songs are, not knowing anything about Jesus, and you can find a place here because we love every single person. That's the beauty of a church. You see, you don't have to act right before you can belong here. You can get a hug, well, maybe pre-COVID, post-COVID, be like, I mean. So will the life I'm building last longer than the life I'm living? Or am I just trying to build a good social media profile? Am I just trying to build a good 401k? Am I just trying to build a life of convenience? Come on, some people just want to build a life of convenience where nothing ever actually bothers me. I got my life and it's good, and don't ask of me that. I don't want that. That's uncomfortable. That's inconvenient. No, I don't want to do that. I want to be home by 7 so I can have my glass of whatever you glass, and I want to watch my Netflix, and I want comfortable. I don't have to do extra. So will that life last longer? Before I was here in Austin, I helped with a church plant. And so a church plant, they couldn't pay me because we were starting. It was a startup church. For those of you who don't understand church language, that's cool. So it was a startup church, and so they couldn't pay me, which was fine because I was still called to full-time ministry, and I don't like this idea of full-time ministry. Like, I'm full-time, you're what? No, we're all full-time. You're called to full-time ministry. We're all full-time ministers. And so I had a job, and I worked a job for an oil and gas company. And so I'd work during the week and do church on the weekend. But this oil and gas company hired me to do research. So what I would do is I would go into the courthouse, and I would research the ownership of the oil and gas rights. And I usually had to start at the very beginning of whenever the land was patented. So whenever the United States government had given the land to whoever the first landowner was, that's where I would start. And I would be following the trail kind of all the way up to modern day. And I would be following to know who had the oil and gas rights to be able to tell the oil and gas company, okay, pay them, you can drill a well there and you got to pay them. And so what you find was is that every time there was a death in the family, there was a last will and testament, and then they would create a document, the court, a final deed of distribution, which means that everything that that person owned was then distributed to their heirs. And so this is kind of funny. You could see people's life in a snapshot. You could see what they owned, what they cared about, what they invested in, whether they had family problems, because you could see if the kids were skipped and given to friends. You're like, oh, there's some drama there, right? You could see if the wife was cut out. You could see if, like, there was a new wife. I mean, all kinds of things in these little documents. It was kind of crazy. But one of the things was is you'd pull out a deed of distribution. And the one thing, especially where we were doing research, everybody really cared about was who got the oil and gas rights. So they have pages of stuff, right? Like, I mean, you had this kid gets this kitchen stuff. This person gets the mule. And literally, there was like this person gets my donkey. I mean, this is crazy stuff, right? Like, they get the farmhouse. They get the tractor. This person gets the old truck. And this person gets all my clothes. This person gets my jewelry. Come on, y'all know how last will and testaments go. And if you've gone through one of these things, families can begin to fight. You're like, no, that was for me, not for you. You don't get that. You know, all those types of things. And you would see it done on paper. But the thing that people cared about the most was who gets the oil and gas rights. Because I don't care about no donkey in a field, and I don't care about some kitchen stuff, because if I get the oil and gas rights, I'll buy my own donkey, right? Like, I'll go to Pottery Barn and buy my own dishes. I don't need your old dishes, right? I'm going to get my own things. Because there was value there. And it lasted longer than one lifetime. So let me ask you this. Again, what about the life I'm building will last longer than the life I'm living? Let me ask you, are you going to pass down a legacy, a heritage of faithfulness to God? Are you going to pass down passion for His word, passion for His church, or are you going to pass down stuff? And you may be like, listen, Pastor, I'm like 21. I'm not even ready to start thinking about this. Why not? Why not think about it today? Why not think about it in all of we do, all the activity, all the building, all the grinding, all the work we do? The word says, unless the Lord builds the house, man labors, they just labor in vain. Why would you want to spend the next 60 years working when it comes to no good? Why not now? Go, what am I actually building that's going to last longer? What's going to go beyond my lifetime? What faith, what spiritual legacy, what oil and gas rights, if you will, that produces riches go beyond just today? What am I passing down? What am I building for? I want to ask you, can you say that about your life? Unless the Lord builds my life, I labor in vain. You see, but any good house starts with a good foundation, a solid foundation. So this morning, I want to look at the words of Jesus for us today, and I'm going to go into some application and go, okay, how do we begin to build? How do we build the way God wants us to build? How do we build so that it lasts beyond just the life I'm living? How do we create generational spiritual wealth? I want you to think about that. I want to create generational spiritual wealth, both in my natural children and in my spiritual children, and in my church family, my community, in Pflugerville, wherever you live. Let us build generational spiritual wealth on this Labor Day weekend. The words of Jesus say this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. So here Jesus describes two houses, two foundations, one on rock, one on sand. So this morning, what is your life built on? Is it built on rock, or is it built on sand? See, Jesus gives us a clue here, and he says this: in order to have a life that is built longer than just the life you're living, our life must be built on a strong foundation, not just sand. It's got to be built on rock. The funny thing is about New York City is New York City almost has a valley of skyscrapers. Downtown New York City has tall, huge, this is where the World Trade Center was, right? I mean, these massive buildings downtown. Then you have Midtown, which is low buildings. They're kind of short and squatty. And then you get to Uptown again, you've got these tall, huge buildings. And one of the things is if you understand really the geology of New York City, you understand this, that in downtown and uptown, you have granite, which is really close to the surface. But in Midtown, it goes down 40 meters, and the people who are building the foundations of the building, they can't go that deep. So there's nothing strong there to be able to lift it up. Come on, I wonder if Victory City Church, are we going to be a church in the valley? Or are we going to be a church of strong spiritual houses for our community? Does God want to build your life taller than you ever thought it could be? Does God want to build you stronger than you ever thought it could be? Come on, somebody, I'm preaching right here. Does God want to go take you wider, more influential, stronger? And here's the deal, those buildings have lasted for generations. Will you last? Will your legacy, will the things you pass down, will it last beyond just your lifetime? Are we stuck in Midtown in the mud on sand? You see, there's three things that Jesus says. And I believe through this scripture, I'm gonna pull out three decisions that I believe God's asking you to make. And it's one of the ways that I think helps us build a life on rock. And the first one is this, is decide that Jesus is the way. Now, it's important to understand, I didn't say a way. Well, you're going to help me preach for a minute? Or like, y'all still thinking about it. It's all right. It's cool if y'all still thinking about it. Y'all still introspective. You're like, well, let me think about this. Right? Decide that Jesus is the way. I think in culture, we got some people with essential oil faith. Y'all know what essential oil faith? Nothing wrong with essential oils. Like, y'all, it's cool. Essential oil faith. Anytime like Natalie has some problems in the house, right? Or like we get getting sick or like all the things, she makes like the essential oil concoction, right? She adds a little bit of, I'm going to add a little bit of peppermint. I'm going to add a little bit of thieves. I'm going to add, yeah, straight. Somebody got some essential oil faith, right? I'm going to add a little bit of like whatever mint. I don't know the things, all the essential. And then she's like, I'm going to diffuse it, right? And it's going to smell nice. I think in today's culture, what we do is we try to assimilate all these different worldviews into a foundation. And Jesus is like, no. Like, I'm the only way. I'm the only, like, no way. If you look at the two characteristics between a rock and sand, you'll look at two things. One's solid and one's particles. So I wonder in our own life where we've kind of assimilated our own idea of what spirituality is. Like, okay, I'll take a little bit of Jesus. Like, I like what he says about that. I'm going to pull that in here. And I'm going to pull in like a little bit of this. And like, I like Oprah too, right? And I'm going to pull in like these. Like, I'm, you know, ain't nothing wrong with Oprah. I'm just saying. Like, we try to like pull in all these different things. And then if you ever try to step on sand, it kind of disperses. Jesus is the way. There's not another way. So let me just give you an idea of kind of how culture views this. And I pray it doesn't offend you because I know, it comes from love and I want to kind of roll this out here. Let me give you an example of where people want to like pick things about Jesus they like and then kind of do their own thing with other things, right? So Jesus isn't the way, he's just a way, and they assimilate and kind of assemble their own way of doing it. Let's take social justice. That's a hot topic right now. Like equality, right? And racism and all those types of things. And here's the deal, like a lot of, I would say this, that biblically, yes, all are created equal. Every single person, racism is evil, right? Except we live in a culture that says this, yes, see, racism is evil and it's bad and it should be equal for all. Well, where does that truth come from? Does it come from culture? No, it doesn't come from culture. It comes from the word. Now, here's the deal. Let me show you the broken ideology where we try to assimilate our own truths and try to create our own foundation. That's the same culture and society that will tell you that God did not create the earth. It was actually evolution. And in evolution, there's a theory of called natural selection, where it says the strong eat the weak. So therefore, whoever are in power have the choice to rule over those who aren't in power. I want you to think about this. In that same ideology, they would tell you this, yes, natural selection was the way, but also, oh, all are equal. Well, how did those two coexist? How can two truths that are opposed to one another, where one says natural selection, the other one says all are equal, because we should go to the animal kingdom and go, no, all are equal. Don't eat, stop it. Stop doing that. Everybody's equal. You see, the opposing ideologies are this. We want to pick certain things. So we want to say, yes, all are equal. And we'll even like, people ain't even believers. They're like, we're all created under God. We like that. That's the foundation. So we'll put like that corner of our house under that rock. We'll be like, equality. Now we go over here to one of the things that God says is like, this is the way sexuality should be. Whoa, hold up. Hold up. I'm cool with equality. I'm not cool with you telling me how to live my sexual life. Y'all ready to have fun? I'm gonna mess with you, right? I get to define what I want to do with my sexual life. Equal, get to do what I want. So on one side, we build our house on the rock that is equality, and on the other side, we build our life on the sand that is our own individualized sexual expression. If it feels good, do it. You see the ideology of the world? This is what happens when you build your life on sand. Yeah, you can throw some rocks in there. I'll take a little bit of Jesus. I'll take a little bit of this. I'll take a little bit of like whatever I watch on the news channel. Like whichever one, some of y'all, I'm going to mess with y'all. Like Fox 2, Fox ain't your Bible. CNN isn't either. So we do this and we try to assimilate. And then when the, well, hang on. And then when the winds come and the storms happen, and you're like, why did that relationship crumble? Well, now here's the deal. I want to speak to believers, right? So this is the believers. I want to speak to you for a second. Stop being timid to declare that Jesus is the way. Stop it. We got a whole world out there like getting all bold and stuff for all kinds of ideologies that somebody made up 15 years ago. Come on, can I tell you the truth that Jesus is the way has lasted thousands of years and is not going away? And can I tell you, he's seen wars, he's seen tribulations, he's seen difficulties, and the word of God is not moving because some blue check mark got offended. Come on, somebody, right? And the church is weak. Now, if you're not a part of the church, don't worry. Just think about joining us because we're pretty rowdy. Or we were designed to be. But now we got all these Christians like, well, if you feel like I know that's your truth now, there ain't no such thing as my truth and your truth. There is the truth. Let me show you. Here's the world this will do. Christians are so narrow. Right? You ever hear this? Like, you guys are narrow-minded. I'm being sarcastic only in like hyperbole. I don't really get, would never treat somebody like that. I'm just having fun. Can I have fun? Cool. All right. You're so narrow-minded. Truth by nature is narrow. It's narrow by definition. Unless you want to redefine truth, which many people have tried to do, it is by definition narrow. So here's what the world would say. Well, I mean, let's have a little fun, right? 2 + 2 = well, that's your truth, not my truth. I'm 5. Here's the deal. If it's 4, then that means that literally every other integer in mathematics is the wrong thing. Narrow. Yeah, 1 digit is the right answer. Let's try another one, right? Natalie Morris is my wife, and she is fine, okay? We've been married for a long time, and it's been great. Gets better every year. 4 kids to prove it. Here's the deal. Natalie is my wife. Truth. That means the other 3.5 billion women on the earth are not my wife. Narrow. Let me help you. Jesus is the way. And that means every other faith system, every other belief system. It's not like we're trying to be rude and like mess with your life. We're just telling you 2 + 2 = 4. And just because you believe it's 14 doesn't mean I'm narrow. Doesn't mean like 2 + 2 = 4. No, it's red. No, you ain't even the same ballpark, homie. In fact, I would say that the Christian faith is the most open ideology and system or structure to any system or structure in the world. Like you see it now. Like if you don't, here's the deal. Like if you don't believe exactly what whatever group you're a part of, you're not a part of that group. right? I mean, we see it in politics now. If you don't use the same verbiage of the right or the left, well, are you a part of us? Well, I'm kind of like in the middle. Well, you're not in the middle. You're out of space, homie. Like, you ain't nowhere. Here's the ideology of the church. You want to talk about narrow? Here's the words of Jesus. It says this. All that the Father gives me, meaning you, me, people, all that the Father gives me, because the Word of God says no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. And Scripture actually says that God is drawing people in. So he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Come on. That's the most open, like if you're busted and broken, you're hurting and lost, if you're all kinds of jacked up sideways, can't get your life together, come on, can I tell you that Jesus is for you today? Can I tell you this? If you got broken ideology, if you got a broken home life, if you got broken relationships, if you got a broken addiction, can I tell you that Jesus is here for you? The church is not about if you can behave right. The church is not about if you can dress right. The church is not around, okay, until you act polished, then you can belong. The church is, hey, are you human and do you need a savior? Good, you're welcome here. Why? Because I am human and I needed a savior and I was a sinner, lost without grace, and every single one of us are that same way. Come on. Come on, you're telling me that Jesus only goes for perfect people and that the faith will be empty. That's why we'll be a church that, I mean, I don't care what you look like when you come in our doors, we're going to give you a hug. We're going to say you belong here. Welcome. Why? Because Jesus says, all that come to me, if they come to me, I won't cast them out. So believers, you got to decide today. Jesus is the way. You see, Jesus is more than our furniture. He's our foundation. Some of us treat Jesus like furniture, like decorative and comfortable. I mean, how many of y'all, when you go sofa shopping, you like sit on that one? Well, you sit on that one. How many of y'all do church like that? Come on, is this comfortable? Oh, yeah, it's comfortable. It's nice. See, Jesus isn't our furniture, decorating our home. He's the thing that we build upon. He's the one that we say, this is the only way. This is the sure foundation. You know, so I'm proud of people today, actually. We've got baptisms immediately following this service, and people are going public with their faith in baptism, basically declaring Jesus is the way. And maybe you're here, and you're like, I've never been baptized. Man, we got stuff for you. We got clothes for you. We got everything you need. If you want to be baptized, I'll baptize you after the service. And that's you saying this to everybody around me, my friends, my family, whoever I came to church with, Jesus is the way. So, here's the deal. I'm going to go to the second thought for you today, and that's this. This the first one I think most Christians like, right? That's the one they can amen. Decide that Jesus is the way. Y'all can amen that. Y'all are good, right? But here's the one that Christians go, ooh, I'm going to mess with y'all a little bit. Y'all ready? Cool. All right. Decide to listen and obey. Matthew 7, verse 34, 24 says this, therefore, everyone who hears, there's a lot of believers who hear. They come to church every weekend. They watch YouTube videos. They listen to podcasts. They do all types of things. But then when it says, and puts them into practice, they're like, well, like my life is just, I got a situation right now. Like I'll do that when I get older, when I become a grandparent, or like, hey, when I get out of college, like, because college I'm exploring right now, and I'll put those things into practice. You know, like I'll do that later, like when I actually have kids, and like I have to start thinking about other people. Like, come on, how many believers, like, they find all kinds of way to like get to like, well, God, like, okay, I know you're asking me to do that, but like I just can't do that right now. Come on, like you ever been there? Come on, y'all ever had arguments with God when you know God's talking to you and God's asking you to do something, and you like come up with all kinds of reasons why not? Come on, like anybody out there, like, or maybe I'm preaching to the actual people who are, and you're like, I don't want to say it. I don't want to, amen. You see, Natalie and I, we built a house last year, and we were there, and there was a wall separating the living room from the dining room. And Natalie was like, we want like an open concept. And so she was like, can we tear that wall down? Like, we want to tear the wall down. And I'm like talking to the builder. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I'm in a tough place right here. Like, you got to help me out. She wants the wall out. And he was like, listen, we can't do it. I'm like, come on, man. She wants an open concept. Have you ever heard of Chipping Joanna? Like, she wants an open concept. can we get an open concept? And he was like, well, listen, if we do it for you, we got to do it for everybody. I'm like, right, okay, you got to do it for everybody then. Everybody wants an open concept. And then I was like, listen, what do you need? You need a little, like, I'll slide you some, you know, you got, you know, a little extra. And no, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. He'll like immediately judging me. So finally he came back. He was like, we can't do it. And I was like, come on, what do you got to do? She wants an open concept. And he goes, well, it's structural. It's structural. If I take the wall out, it makes the whole second floor weak. And some of us, we view God's instructions as just like arbitrary, like God's just wanting to ruin your life. But that's actually not what God is doing. God is actually saying this, hey, listen, like if you don't include these things, it's going to make your life or your house weak. So when it comes to the things that God's asking us to do, God's asking us to do them because he wants you strong. So let's just talk about, let's have some fun here. Let's talk about finances. Right, there's a way God's asked you to live your finances, and you think I'm going to talk about tithing and giving. I'm not. That actually wasn't first God's first ask of you. God's first ask of you was to steward. Steward what he gave you. And so when we go, God, listen, I don't want to do that right now. I can't do that in my life. I want these things. I want to do all this type of stuff. What we're actually doing is not putting a wall where God's asked us to put a wall, and then when difficulty comes, boom, the house falls. Let's talk about our relationships. Like God's asked you, man, like, don't get in that relationship. Well, no, they're attractive. I want an open concept. Where I can date. God's going, all right, listen, man, you build a house there, and you don't put these walls and you don't put these structures in, when storms hit, it's going to collapse. So let me ask you this today. Like, where are you, the designer, where are you disagreeing with the architect? God, this is what I want. This is what I want it to look like. I want the things. I want this. I want this in my life. And God's going, all right, if you do that, it's actually structurally unsafe. And see, believers, we can go, Jesus is the way. But then when it comes to obey, we're like, well, I need that proven in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So let me ask you today, where are you and the architect disagreeing? And you know it. And God's saying, listen, it's not enough just to hear the message. You got to put it into practice and begin doing it immediately. Now, I get it's hard to do it alone. That's why we have groups. Listen, it's really hard to do it in isolation, but that's why I say get with people, man. Get with people all trying to do their best, trying to follow Jesus, and you're going like, I'm trying to put this wall up, but it's hard, and you got people around you, they're going to support you. Listen, do you think the people, your friends from your past life are going to help you put a wall up when they don't got the wall up? Why are you putting that there? Well, it's going to make it stronger. Well, I don't have one there. So it's so important to get around community, because community is the thing that helps you grow. It's the thing that helps you put the walls in your life that you know need to strengthen. So yes, I'm starting with Jesus, but then I got to put strong walls up. And where does that come from? His word. Final thought, I'm concluding. This is my last thought. Is decide to strengthen where the storm washes away. And here's the deal, we're not perfect. And storms come in our life, and what they do is they wash away the weak areas of our life. And maybe 2020 has been a storm. Maybe like, actually 2020 is great. 2018 was tough. Maybe there's some point in your life where a storm hit, a divorce hit, a bad, you know, like medical report, like a loss, like job loss, like all those types of things are storms in your life. And kind of what it is when the storm hits, it washes away some of the things that were actually saying that you thought was Jesus. Here's what I want you to see, that both houses look the same. Both houses look the same. And it wasn't until the storm hit could people tell the difference. Come on, there's a lot of people whose life looks really good. And you might be looking at their life instead of the life that God wants to build. And you're going, God, I want that life. And you're going, you don't know what's underneath the surface. They look good on the outside. They look like they all got it together. And you're trying to copy something. And God's going, I'm wanting to build you. I'm wanting to make you original. I'm wanting to make you strong. I'm wanting to make you unique. I'm wanting to build you so that you may last longer than the life you're living. A life beyond just what my 80 years or 70 years or whatever your life expectancy is. Come on, somebody. I want spiritual grandchildren, right? Like, I want to leave a legacy beyond just myself. I don't have any grandchildren yet, but I got two sons named Winston and Malcolm. I want God to be able to introduce himself as Eric, Winston, and Matthew, or whatever my grandchild's name is. Come on, I want that for you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Eric, Winston, and Brian. Come on, how many of you got grandkids? Right? My God is the God of your name, your son or daughter, and your grandchildren. Last thing, I'm done. You see, I'm going to go back to the psalm that Solomon wrote where he says, hey, listen, if God didn't build it, you're wasting your time. I'm going to go to verse 2, the next verse. He says this, in vain you rise early, stay up late, toiling for food to eat. If this doesn't sound like our society, and maybe you're not overworked, you're just over anxious. You're like, you're all kinds of consumed, man. You're up early, you can't sleep. Come on, how many of you guys have been there before when it's like you lay your head down at night and all of a sudden all the thoughts come flooding in. You can't sleep because you're worried about this thing and about that much and about who's going to do that and what's this going to happen. And you're up till 2:30 a.m. and you can't sleep, and then you got to be up the next morning and going again, and you're anxious, you're wore out. And this picture describes, man, I feel like every week I'm just toiling just to make it. But Solomon says, he, meaning Jesus, grants sleep for those he loves. My wife loves when it storms, loves it. And she says this all the time. She says, that's good sleeping weather. When it storms, that's good sleeping weather. In fact, she'll say, the harder it rains, the better I sleep. When you ever do this, like when it's storming outside, get in the bed. I was laughing the other day. I was like, you realize that's like one of the, we're living in one of the only periods of history when it storms is good sleeping weather. Like, can you imagine? She got some Native American in her. I was like, can you imagine like 500 years ago when it starts storming, you're in your teepee and you're like, when it storms, it sleeps. I'm like, no, you're like freaking out because you're like, a flood is coming right here. Everything's soaking wet. Can you imagine living in Europe? You got some like hay thatched roof and the storm comes and you're like, everything's soaking wet. We're being washed away. We got dirt floors. Why today in society can we say, hey man, rain is good sleeping weather? Got a good foundation and you got some strong walls. Come on, church, let me tell you this. The church is built for when it rains. Come on, the enemy tried to throw a storm at you, but you said, that's good sleeping weather. You attack my peace, that's good sleeping weather. You attack my health, that's good sleeping weather. You attack my family, that's good sleeping weather. You attack my destiny, you attack my money, you attack my personality, you attack my identity, that's good sleeping weather. Come on, church, are we on a foundation? Do we have strong walls? Do we say, no matter what the storms of life can throw at me, I'm built to last. I'm gonna sleep through it because he gives sleep to those he loves. Amen.